This is the Horse Radio Network.
What a beautiful day for horses in the morning.
Well, good Monday morning, everybody. I am Glenda Geek from Ocala, Florida.
And I'm Wendy Ying from Sarasota, Florida, and you're listening to Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network for May 16th, episode 1430. This episode is brought to you by Omega Alpha Equine. Good morning, horse world.
Yep, it's Monday.
All right, let's take it from the top again.
Well, welcome back to the show, everybody. We're so glad you could join us. Jamie is off today. She is over visiting Chad. He's doing his training to become an airline pilot and apparently finding it quite daunting. So she is over visiting him for a couple days, and then they're going to go up and see their property up there in Oklahoma. They're going to go visit and pitch a tent or something. But Wendy is filling in today. Thank you, Dr. Wendy, for joining us.
Yes, thanks for having me.
So good to have you here. You have to put up with me twice today.
I know. And it's Monday morning. This is supposed to be my day off. I must really love you guys.
You really must, because I make you do the other show on Monday, the driving radio show Wendy hosts. And now I'm making you do this too.
I know. You're a slave driver, Glenn.
I am. I have my whip out. I'm going to make sure she gets on the point today. We have a lot to do in today's show, so we're going to go right to Jennifer.
Coming up on today's Omega Alpha Equine Monday edition, breaking from the gate, Auditor Fiona Atkins is going to stop by with a report from the Royal Windsor Horse Show. And then midway through the first turn, we're going to learn about animal facilities for large animal vets and shelters and how they're designed from Heather Lewis of Animal Arts in Boulder, Colorado. And then after the break, Leslie has the latest from the Wacky World of Horse Station. And then, squeezing in at the end, like a warm blood in a quarter horse-sized horse trailer, Auditor Lisa Bike picks Wendy's brain about TCVM treatments. So stay tuned for the break, folks.
I like that. I like that analogy. Well, we have to, before we get to our daily whinnies, we just have to offer our thoughts and prayers and condolences to the Humphreys family. As most of you have heard, Philippa Humphreys experienced a rotational fall at fence number 16 at the horse show in New Jersey.
Fresh.
Yeah, Jersey Fresh over the weekend. And she was flown out by life support. Actually, there was a nurse right there at the jump, and the nurse started CPR immediately, and the medics got there very quickly, but they were not able to save her. She fortunately has a daughter, but her daughter is 6 months old. Her daughter, Millie, and her husband, Peter, we send them the best. A fund has been set up for Millie, for the daughter. And you can find that fund. Jennifer will post a link to it. Jennifer, it's in the show notes. We'll post a link to it. It's a college fund that has been established for her. And also, I guess, the care that this poor little girl is going to need. It's already up to $27,000 after 2 days, which shows you a lot about the eventing community. And it was a sad time at Jersey Fresh. They also lost a horse there this weekend. I think that was another rotational fall. So,
it's awful.
Our thoughts and prayers are to everybody there. I know that she was very well liked in the eventing world. She's originally from England. So we give our best to all of them. And we'll hope for better days ahead here for the eventing world. Well, let's do our daily whinnies. Well, my Daily Whinny goes out to Kate Barrett, who's one of our auditors, and she had her first. She said, today was my first horse show. It seemed as if the class ended just moments after it started, and my pal Danik was a dream. And her pal Danik is a Frisian. And
yay!
She was I knew you'd like that. And she was at a Frisian horse show, so apparently had fun. I don't know what class she was in or what she did there, but Kate...
I hope she did the costume class.
It was not a costume class. Judging by the picture, it was in the costume class. But what a cute horse. Kate, we're going to have you on the show to tell us all about your Frisian. That'll be fun. All right, your turn.
Okay, my Daily Whinny is going to be shared by my two best friends, Megan Bench and Randy Cadwell, because they both just had baby foals, and they're so super cute because they both are Welsh pony breeders. And they keep posting all these adorable pictures on Facebook of their little tiny adorable baby foals. So congratulations, guys.
It's always fun to have babies.
I know, and I am so happy that my friends are having babies, and they're not human babies. They're furry foals. Because what if they were having like human babies and I'd have to go shopping? I wouldn't even know what
to buy. No, you know what you do as non-baby people? We just buy gift certificates. Because
Walmart gift cards.
Or, you know, just Toys R Us or something.
Right.
Because what do we know? You know?
I know. I don't know anything about what, you know, if thank God they're not having human babies. They'd be so mad at me because they'd be like, you're my best friend and you haven't thrown me a baby shower. And I'd be like, I don't know how to do that.
Yeah, I wouldn't know what to do with a baby shower. Jennifer, I think you've been to what, one or two in your lifetime? Baby showers. And
No offense to anybody having kids, but I'm sorry. They're awful. I'm sorry. I apologize. It's not you. It's me.
They don't want us there anyways.
No, they don't want
because
the
they have their
people.
Like
no,
clean friends that don't smell like the barn, and we like turn those people off.
We're just we bring down the energy in the room.
I remember Jennifer suffering through that one baby shower she actually did go to. See, we got the double curse: horse addicted and no children. So we got the double curse. Yeah.
I don't think it's a curse; it's a blessing.
Depends, I guess, how you look at it. All right. We asked for we're going to be getting to one of our auditors here in about 10 minutes. Fiona is going to be coming to us with a report. She was at the Royal Windsor Horse Show over the weekend, and she just wrote me a note and said, I'm going to be 5 minutes late. So, well, I think we'll have time to talk some health here. Dr. Wendy, we put out a call to our listeners to ask you questions, health questions, and we also want to, you know, just give a disclaimer at the beginning of the show that Dr. Wendy is a veterinarian and a traditional Chinese medicine doctor, but that does not take the place of your normal veterinarian. You should still seek the advice and counsel of your veterinarian.
Correct.
Did I do a disclaimer good?
Yes. Okay. So, because I have people all the time send me pictures of like their horse's foot and say, hey, can you diagnose this? And I say, no, I can't diagnose a lameness of your horse's foot from a picture on your cell phone. So use common sense. And if your horse is sick, call the veterinarian. But I can give you some general advice here.
That's funny. Well, we have a couple of...
Can I have that on a t-shirt? Please?
Yeah. Really? That was funny. Well, Dr. Wendy, do you want to do vaccines first or answer a listener question first?
What do you guys want to do? Questions.
Why don't we do Rosie's question? Because I think it's kind of unusual. So,
this is a great question.
Let's start with that. My boy is 22 plus, and this past winter, he started losing color on his lips. It was a small amount, and then it spread all over. He currently has the bottom and top lips are white. Why is this happening? Other than he's getting frickin' old like me. My lips are white, too.
Well, this is actually a very interesting disease. And, you know, my favorite pop star was the king of pop, Michael Jackson. And he had vitiligo, which is like it's a genetic disease where you start losing your pigment. And this is common in Arabians. So I don't know if she has an Arabian or Arabian cross. But also, like in Michael Jackson's case, it happened because of the, remember the Pepsi commercial incident?
Oh, yeah.
His hair caught on fire. So this can also happen when you have like a injury or chemical burns. So, and some horses are allergic to, like if it's on his lips, sometimes they're allergic to certain plastics. So that can cause, it's like scarring. You know, sometimes they get a scar and it grows in white because the cells that make the pigment die under in the skin. And so that's what makes it white. But the most common reason this would happen in an old horse is because it's genetic disease of Arabs. And it's just a cosmetic defect. So it doesn't mean he's sick or anything. It's just, you know, what happens.
So nothing to do about it. Just and don't worry about it.
You can tattoo it if you really want to, but
make it black
permanent
again.
Permanent makeup. Yeah, you can do permanent makeup, but it's not going to hurt him. And it's just a, I'm pretty sure that this horse is an Arabian or part Arabian. And if he's not, then I would say is probably from some kind of trauma or allergic reaction. And there has been some rare cases. I don't think there's any scientific literature to prove this, but some people say over-supplementation of thyrol L can cause this this condition.
And what's that used for, thyrol L?
Thyrol L is a thyroid supplement. You see it a lot. People tend to put horses on it. To me, hypothyroidism, like low thyroid hormone in horses, is a little bit controversial. But some people put old horses on it, especially if they have Cushing's, they'll put them on thyrol L and they think they see an improvement there. So.
Oh, and, I just heard from Rosie who said that Angus is a Morgan quarter horse.
Oh, Morgan quarter horse. So yeah. So then it's probably some other reason this, it could be genetic.
Do you think
because
that Rosie traumatized her horse and now
no, I don't think she
white.
Traumatized her
it's
horse.
It's all Rosie's fault. You know, Rosie just had her hair dyed this orangish reddish color and it traumatized me the first time I saw a picture. So maybe that's what happened to the horse.
You know what I think? You know how these Morgan breeders are.
Now, don't get into your
Morgan
spiel.
Please send your hate mail to Wendy
yes, Wendy at.
We could do some genetic testing.
I still think it's her hair. I still think it's Rosie's hair. Scared him to death. That's what I think. And Rosie's laughing. I'm not making fun of her. She's laughing. She just sent me a note. I made fun of her all weekend, actually, about her hair. We're going to go.
Rosie, don't worry. It's just cosmetic.
That's right. Don't worry about it. We have time for one more quick one before we go to England here. Let me play. I have a voicemail for you. So let me play that.
Good morning, Glenn and Wendy. I had a health question for you. I've got a mare who her hoof grows out with a bit of a deformity to it. It's got a ridge that grows in, and I was told it was because of a coronet band injury when she was younger. I was wondering if Wendy could confirm that this could be a potential cause that something like that could happen. And long term, is there anything that I can do for her about it? Or
I'm not sure she described enough what it was, did she?
No, this is a really common thing that happens. And so the hoof capsule is made of tubules, okay? Like the way it grows, the hoof is like your nail, your fingernail, right? And the coronet band is like where the hoof starts to grow from, right? So what happened is this horse got an injury in her coronet band, in her coronary band. And now the tubules, when they start growing, they're deformed. And so as the hoof grows down, there's always going to be this ridge or deformity there, you know, and there's no way that you can fix that because it's scarred where the hoof starts growing. But usually, I mean, depending on the severity of it, you usually don't see any problems with that. So you just need to have a good farrier that can deal with, you know, depending on where it is on the hoof, you have to take some time to trim the foot correctly. Sometimes you'll be in the place where the defect is, it could set the horse up for quarter cracks, which can be pretty painful. So that would need some support. Like that horse may need a shoe so their hoof doesn't crack, because that's a weakness in the wall of the hoof because it's not growing correctly. So, you know, without seeing, this is one case where she could send me a picture of the horse's hoof, right, and I could give her some advice. So, but I wouldn't worry too much about that. It's just a thing you have to manage, and there's no way that you can fix that. But I would say that I would keep her on a good hoof supplement so that you have the best amount of hoof growth, the strongest hoof growth, and talk to your farrier about a good plan.
All right. Very good. Thank you for that, Wendy. Well, we're going to switch gears a little bit. Wendy's going to answer some more health questions a little later in the show. We have a couple of guests coming up here, and we're going to switch gears a little bit right now. We're going to head to England. One of our auditors over there had the opportunity to head off to the Royal Windsor Horse Show. You've probably seen lots of pictures of the Queen and everybody having a good time. I saw that our friend David Saunders got to spend about an hour chatting with Prince Philip, his old boss, and I think that just made his trip. I'm so glad they got to do that, because I don't think he had seen him in a long time.
It's probably been a while.
Yeah, so I have to do this on Skype, and I have to do it live, so because Jennifer can't call overseas with our system. So I'm going to call Fiona Atkins, is her name, and hopefully we can get her on the phone here. But how cool would it be to get to go there in the first place?
I know.
Watch it. I'm not sure what event she got to see.
Hello?
Hello, Fiona. It's Glenn and Wendy.
Oh, hi, guys. How you doing?
All right. You're on the air. So thank you so much for doing this today for us. How cool was your weekend?
Oh, my, well, it's been since last Tuesday, actually. We went up to Windsor on the Wednesday morning, and it's just been full on, and I arrived back at 4 o'clock this morning.
Wow. You're a little tired. First, let's start
just
with...
a little bit.
Did
yeah.
you get to see the big show last night with the 900 horses, the big 90th birthday party?
Yes, I did, and it was absolutely fantastic. If you can watch it somehow on the internet, do. It is worth it. It's 90 minutes of just pure horsey heaven. It is just fabulous.
I saw some pictures and some videos of the star of the show seemed to be a little fat white pony that waddled on out to perform. I saw that video, and talk about cute as a dickens.
Absolutely. And they were singing, they had Kylie Minogue singing in that point as well. So you've got this amazing superstar on the stage, and then you've got this little pony stealing the show from her in the middle of the arena. It was just brilliant.
Now, what was your favorite part of that night? I mean, there were apparently 900 horses.
I knew
horses.
You were going to ask me that. Yeah, 900 horses, 1,600 people. What was my favorite bit? I mean, I love all the pomp and ceremony that the British put on. I love all the household cavalry and the Irish guards. And it's just it's just so much color and vibrance and light. But I still really loved the top secret drum corps from Switzerland.
Mm.
You need to find them, because they were just brilliant. They had the whole crowd going. It was really, well, the whole thing, the crowd were with them from the moment they started, but it was, a real crowd pleaser.
And I assume they brought the bagpipes out.
Of course. Can't be without them. And most of the other, it's funny, isn't it, how the Commonwealth, a lot of them have bagpipes as part of their thing as well. So there was a lot of bagpipes. But I love that sound. I'm part Scottish, so I do like a good old bit on the bagpipes.
So I saw that, I mean, they had all the royalty out, but there was a lot of music, and what they were doing was really telling her story from the beginning, from childbirth on, right?
That's why they literally did it from toddler right through till now, but just added in all these different bits throughout the way. So it was fantastic. So they went through the wedding, they went through the different cavalries, they went through her sort of international Commonwealth and all the places that she visited by bringing all these different people in. So we had things like the Fijian Armed Forces Band and dancers, the New Zealand Band Army. It was just endless. And then we went all the way back, and then it came back around and sort of went then looking at her horses, her race horses that she's owned. And then we had a parade of all her lovely fells and dales and highlands that she's bred. And it was amazing. We had a lot of royalty there last night. It was just fabulous. We had Zara Phillips, now Tyndall, riding in the arena. We had one of her sons, Prince Edward, was riding a horse. And Princess Anne was also riding in it. So it was a real family thing for her. Brilliant.
Where you were sitting, could you see the Queen?
I could, yes. And I also work in the media center there. So I was working back firing images off all over the world. So I've got a guy photographing in there and he'd keep on running back to me with cards and then I'd be uploading them and off they'd go around. So yeah, you could see her from where I was, but she's a long way away. She's a little speck.
I imagine the whole crowd must have kept watching her too to see her reaction to the different things.
Completely. And everyone now sort of knows that Prince Philip, whenever they do the cannons, he always puts his hands over his ears. So it's so funny because you know when it's going to come up and then you see this lovely old man just putting his hands over his ears and he was sat next to Kate. So that was lovely as well. So it's got some nice pictures of the two of them together, which is brilliant.
And they were sitting with a king of some sort or another, right?
King of Bahrain. Yes. Yes. Yeah, the queen was sitting next to the king of Bahrain.
What significance did that have?
I don't know if I should say this on air. He pays for most of it.
Oh, there you go. Well, then I'll get you a seat.
It's quite a good reason.
That's how you get the VIP seat.
That's how you get the seat beside the Queen. Well,
no, basically, we do the Royal Windsor Horse Show, we have all the endurance events. So that's where the King of Bahrain and that kind of influence has come in. And then he also sponsors a lot of the 4-star show jumping classes as well. So he was very much sort of present for the past couple of days at the show as well, during the day as well as in the evenings.
That's funny. Well, now, what else did you get to see of the horse show?
Oh, everything, because I was working there as well. But I love the driving, a bit like you, Glenn. So I was out photographing the coaching marathons and things like that, which is just fabulous.
Marathon is my favorite. The pictures going down to the castle.
The long walk, yeah. Yes. Absolutely. And everyone's dressed up and then you've got the horn blower on the back and it's just, yeah, it's a sight. It's very
And they cool. had a lot of them this year, the right? Like 30 or 36
I know, we
must, or something?
In the coaching we had about 16, I think, came out in the end. But then we had the driving competition as well, which must have had a good 30 in it. So there's just lots of carriages. It's a real kind of, it's a good mix, this event, from showing right through to the driving. So, yeah, representations from all disciplines.
And our own David Saunders, who hosts the driving show once a month, was there with Gloria Austin in the coaching. So that was kind of neat to see them out. I think she was driving somebody else's, wasn't she, Wendy?
She was driving somebody's Frisians. And then Misty and James Miller were each driving their own coaches. Well, not there. I think Misty borrowed a coach and team, and her husband James was driving Boyd's coach and team, I think.
Oh, yeah.
I didn't know James drove the Misty Wrigley Millers who we're talking about. I didn't know that her husband drove.
Yeah, he drives.
Oh, wow.
And cool. he plays polo too, I think.
Yeah, I knew he was a big polo player, but well, let's go over, if we can, Fiona, just some of the highlights for who won what. It was not Chester Weber who won for a third year in the four in hand CDE of the horses, the combined driving event. He won the last 2 years, did not win this year. It was Boyd Excel who won.
It was, I know, and he was a very happy man.
Was he? I bet he was. He wanted to win this year. He said he came in twice the last 2 years to Chester. He was not doing that again this year.
No. And it was
I think Chester was sick.
Go around.
I think something happened.
Yeah, poor Wendy loves Chester. And this morning before the show, I said, what the heck happened to Chester? He came in fifth. She's like, I don't want to talk about it.
Yeah, exactly. Move on.
We're not talking about that anymore. Damn Boyd Excel. He was, by the way, Boyd is an Australian driver and is, I think, one of the tops. There's one or two in the world right now.
Yeah, he's awesome. I'm just kidding you, Boyd.
And he has a
young family. But Boyd finally has a teammate now, Mark Peel.
He has a teammate now?
Yeah, so Australia had a team in the competition this time. So
did the Germans win the team competition, Wendy?
The Dutch won.
The Dutch won, of course. It was either the Germans or the Dutch.
Of course,
it was one of the two. Now let's talk a little bit too about the show jumping. And thank God, no offense, Fiona, but finally we took some of your money.
Didn't you?
You're always coming over here and jumping and taking our money. Now it's time for us to take your money. Kent Farrington actually won the big spot for the Grand Prix.
Yeah, he won the Grand Prix, and then the day before he won the King's Cup, I think it was, or something like that. I can't remember now.
Yeah, thank God we finally won something.
Over there. Yeah,
you can dine out on that for a couple of years now. You know, that's it. You've had your run. That's it. No more.
I guess there was quite a challenge with John Whittaker from Britain, and it went to a jump off and the whole thing.
Yeah, the noise, the crowd were just going mad for it. It was, but yeah, I mean, they got behind everyone. They always do. Us Brits, we're very good.
Yes, you are good at being an audience. Yes. Now, you, I wanted to mention too that Kent was riding his horse Credence, was the horse that Kent was riding. Now, there were a couple other things too. The Queen did very well with some of her horses in some of the classes, right?
That's right. I think she got the reserve champion for her Mansfield Moorland. She took the,
That's right.
You're going to have to remind me now, because yep. On the first day.
It was a fell mare that by the name of Murthwaite Dawn Chorus. That's a long name for a mare. but came in reserve champion in the Mountain and Moorland and the Mountain Moorland champion. And I guess that's a horse that's kept right there at the Royal Mews and is ridden by the royal family all the time.
I know. What a lovely life.
Yeah, so that's not a bad deal.
What an awesome class that must be. That must be like the Thelwell class, you know, Mountain and Moorland, like all these adorable shaggy ponies.
I don't know how they pick. I really don't. My favorite is always Highland ponies. I love Highland ponies. They will always be. That's a Scot in me, you see again.
I got to tell you, I love black horses, so fell ponies are usually black. I love.
They're going to tick your box.
Yeah, you'd love the fell.
Oh, it's on my bucket list. If I ever win the lottery, I'm getting a fell. But they run about, you know, 30,000 to start, so it's going to be a while before I get a fell.
Just ask the Queen. Ask the Queen.
I'm sure she'd let me borrow one for a little while. Then the Working Hunter, we always get accused of never talking about hunters. So Working Hunter ponies apparently packed the place.
They did. They were always well represented over here.
And the most popular winner was an 18-year-old gray gelding by the name of Casper, who was owned by a 12-year-old rider.
Aww.
So how cute must have that been jumping around there?
Adorable, absolutely adorable. When they're all done up in their tweeds, it's fantastic.
And that was Katie Rennell, who was the 12-year-old who won on her pony. And by the way, is it appropriate that she won with a gray pony named Casper?
Yes.
I mean, how perfect is that? I mean, the whole thing just is perfect. Well, so now tell us, was the food good? Did you do other stuff? Was there other stuff going on around? Was there shopping or was this all horse show?
Oh, no, there's so much stuff to do, so much that you can't really get around it all. But being working there, we don't get to sample it all. But I do know that they actually brought in or ordered in 1,000 bottles of champagne. That's the kind of show we're talking about here. A lot of champagne and a lot of strawberries. Yeah.
Wendy and I would be in heaven. We both love champagne. So.
Oh, there you go. They have to. Well, if you come next year, we'll order in 2,000 bottles. And we'll just cover you for 4 days.
That's
no, it's brilliant. There's so much shopping. So much shopping. And then you're right on the edge of Windsor. So a lot of people sort of trundle off and go around the Windsor, town of Windsor and everything. So it's the whole experience. Really
now, did they open up the grounds so that you can actually walk around Windsor? Or is it pretty restricted where you can go?
Now, the grounds are open. You obviously can't go knocking on the castle door while she's right there, but they sort of section off that area. But we have the whole park, because they do the coaching marathon through the whole park, Windsor Great Park. You can walk around, and it is lovely, because on exercise, you'll see the Canadian Mounties or something coming towards you, and they're just out on exercise, but they're all done in all their glorious, you know, colours, and they're all just hacking along. It's lovely, so you can get to access the whole area.
That's really cool. I mean, the whole scene must be special with Windsor Castle in the background and just
absolutely
beautiful to begin with. Well, we're jealous now.
Good. You should be.
You've succeeded. We were waiting for an invitation from the Queen, but we never got one.
You might have to wait a little bit longer, but I'll mention it next time I see you.
Okay, yeah. Could you please bring that up, that we still didn't get our response and a little late now? You know, I tried to find it on TV, but your TV, British TV, is so blocked outside of Britain. It is hard to find. ITV.
Well, I'm sure it'll be feeding out there now. I'm sure you'll start getting and seeing bits of it. Like you say, you've already seen a few clips, but sure you'll access it.
I'd love
it
to watch
point.
The whole thing.
It really is worth it.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's your kind of thing, Glenn. You would be in heaven. Absolute heaven.
Well, Fiona, this is very nice of you to do. We really appreciate you giving us a report. And next time you go someplace cool, let us know. We'll have you back.
I will do. That'd be lovely. Take care, both of you.
All right. Thanks, Fiona.
Cheers. Bye.
Bye.
Well, that's fun. Oh, man. Now I got goosebumps. I wanted to go. That would have been so much fun.
I want to go.
And I just want to see the CDE, the marathon over there. Wouldn't that be cool? Seeing it right there at Windsor.
It'd be awesome.
Well, it's nice of her to check in. She's delightful. She's one of our auditors. By the way, if you want to see about becoming an auditor, just head over to our Horses in the Morning Facebook page. In the middle of the page, there's an auditor banner. For as little as $1 a month, you can join the party. And they do have a party, and the auditor Facebook page is probably the super secret auditor Facebook page is probably the most active Facebook page ever. Matter of fact, they're giving us comments on the show right now. So we appreciate that. It's instant feedback.
You're such a multitasker, Glenn, to be able to do the show live and read your little chat.
I have six things open on four different screens. I have eight things open on four different screens.
How do you do it?
I just, ADD. It works. It comes in handy for this show.
That's true.
The other shows, it's like, I only have one screen open. Ken sent in a question. Let's do this real quick before we get to our next guest. We're going to switch gears a little bit again. We have a variety show for you here today. Ken said, other than icing, and at first I thought he meant like icing on a cake, but he actually meant icing, like with ice. What can help keep inflammation down? I was wondering why he was putting like chocolate icing on a tendon injury, but then it dawned on me that he actually meant like ice. What can help to keep inflammation down on a tendon injury except icing? He's asking, do any supplements help?
Oh, yeah. Well, icing is good. You can also do laser therapy, which is my favorite, and acupuncture. But icing is only used in the very beginning stages, like the first day or two. And then you would want to keep the inflammation down with other forms, like I said, acupuncture, laser, some kind of like warming therapy. And then for supplement-wise, there's all different kinds, but since it's Omega Alpha Day, I will bring up that they have a great supplement that's called Sinuex, and that will help reduce inflammation in the tendon, but also has herbs in there that will help the tendon heal faster. The problem with tendon injuries is that tendons heal very, very slowly, so you need to keep the inflammation down. And also massage will help too, because that keeps the body's, you don't want any swelling there, because swelling squishes the cells and it doesn't let them heal properly. So you need to keep the inflammation down, keep the horse, make sure they rest and don't hurt themselves because they're horses. Right. So, and then the Sinuex Plus can really help because it's anti-inflammatory. Plus it will help with the building blocks of the tendon. Another thing that you can do is, hand walking, because you don't want just like immobilization of the tendon, because tendons are stretchy. So you want to keep that range of motion there, but you want very controlled exercise. Another thing I really recommend is to do sequential ultrasounds, because without an ultrasound, you're just kind of guessing on the severity of the injury. So I know sequential ultrasounds tend to be a little bit expensive, but they're really worth it, because if you start a horse with a tendon injury back too soon, if the tendon is not all the way healed, it's still weak. And if you start them back, or if they decide to go out in the pasture because they're feeling better and start bucking and acting like idiots, you can just re-injure that tendon over and over again. And the more the tendon is injured, the more it heals with scar tissue. And then you lose flexibility. So that's why immediately when you get a tendon injury, you need to deal with it. And you need to take the time it needs to heal, which could be many months. The pain usually lasts for 3 to 8 weeks, but after 8 weeks, there's usually not a lot of pain, but the tendon itself still could have like a big, huge hole in it. The fibers might not all be healed. So that's
why they're so easy to re-injure, right? I mean, that's the problem.
You know, I think that easy to re-injure because we don't wait long enough. We think, oh, they're fine. Cause from the outside, it feels good. It looks good. But if the center of the tendon still has some damage. It's like, imagine a rope, right? You know, those movies that you see like Indiana Jones and he's on a rope that's like hanging over a rock mm-hmm. and fibers start to tear.
Right.
So you want like the whole rope there. That's the strongest. But if it's down, like your fibers start tearing, you're only being held by one little part of the rope. And the horse has to hold up his whole entire giant body with that rope.
Well, if you want to learn more about the Omega Alpha products, all natural, go to OmegaAlphaEquine.com. And this particular product that she was talking about is called Sinuex Plus.
Sinuex Plus.
You'll find it there. Under the they have categories. I think it's under inflammation or swelling. It's in that section. We are going to switch gears now and head to a different topic altogether. And we are going to be talking a little bit of, and I know Wendy was so excited being a veterinarian to be talking about this today. We have Heather Lewis on with us. She is from a company called Animal Arts. She is an architect, and we're going to talk a little bit today about architectural design. And one of the things we like to do is highlight for people. We have a lot of young people listen to the show, and they go, "What? I want to get into the horse world, and I want to do something with horses." Well, there's more than just riding that you can do to make a living with horses, and we're going to be highlighting one of those options today is Heather Lewis. Hi, Heather.
Good morning. How are you?
Good. Thank you so much for joining us today. Now, you're an architect, and also, but you came from a history of riding, right?
I did. I rode as a child growing up here in Boulder, Colorado, and we have wonderful outdoor places to go ride a horse. And so I did that growing up and also rode on the equestrian team in college. Wanted to keep my lifetime together with horses.
Okay, which college?
University of North Carolina in Chapel Hill.
Ah, there you go. Very cool. Well, now, do you always want to be an architect?
You know, there's no straight path for a lot of young people, and I did not grow up thinking I was going to be an architect. I grew up thinking I wanted to be a veterinarian. I always loved animals and wanted to be around animals, and for some reason I lost my path and refound it with architecture.
No, you didn't lose your path. You dodged a bullet. Good for you, Heather.
That's what I hear. So actually, I think it turned out pretty well because I love to work with veterinarians and get to design places for horses and other animals. And so actually, I get all of the joy out of what I do.
And you're not getting called out at 2 in the morning for a colic.
There are no medical emergencies in architecture, at least none that I've experienced at this point.
That's much better. Now you guys do something, you know, we've had barn builders on before who design barns, but you guys go a step further and you're actually on the commercial side. You do barns and stuff too, but you get into some really technical things.
We do. We're an architecture firm that specializes specifically in designing places for animals. So that means veterinary hospitals and places to house animals. And, of course, horses are a passion for me, so I specialize in the horse side of the business.
That's
so exciting.
Yeah.
There must be so much fun. Like, you know when you're little and you, like, draw your perfect barn? Like, if money was no object, I would have this, I would have this, I would have the wash stall, I would have this treatment room. And you get to do that every day.
You know, I do. And, you know, money is an object. I mean, everybody has a budget, but the joy is still there. The joy is still there in creating a place. Anything you can do to make that place better for people who are riding or people who are enjoying their places with their own horses is, I feel like that's an incredible thing that I get to do.
What's the biggest challenge when you're, you know, there's so much. I happen to have taken a lot of architecture classes. Now, this is pre-computer days, and did some drawings and things. What are the biggest challenges for doing a vet clinic? You have so much that goes into that, from just the electrical to just everything.
You know, the technical aspects are pretty easy in a way. They're easy to learn. You can learn about where outlets go and how to make a mechanical system work. The hard thing is how to create a good space. And when you're thinking about a space, it's not only for the people, it's for the animals in this case. So one of the things that's really important with horses is to create a space that is not scary for them, that's calming for them, that they enjoy as much as they can possibly enjoy being with a veterinarian, that they are not afraid of the space.
So you line the walls with carrots? Is that...
That's exactly right. Yes, bribery always works, even in architecture. No, we want to create a space that that is as calming and soothing as possible for the animals. And you see this a lot with horses that are going to referral hospitals or universities. They get stressed out, and then they're more likely to have trouble recovering from whatever it is they've been going through. So it's our job as an architect not only to solve the technical details, but really to think about the way the animals are perceived the space and to make that space as calming and soothing as it can be.
So would you do things like make sure there's like a line of sight so when they're in their stall they can see other horses, or you know, mm-hmm. make sure the spaces are wide enough for them so they don't feel trapped?
Yeah, so it starts with some basic layout considerations. Horses, like you hit on one right there, line of sight. First of all, separating traffic flow, so you don't have vehicles going right by where horses are housed. You don't have a lot of trailer unloading going on right by mm-hmm. treatment areas. So you want to kind of keep the traffic flow separated. This works for not only a veterinary setting, but also a private barn. If someone's laying out a barn, traffic flow is absolutely critical element to keeping the horses calm so that they're not stressed out by things going on. So that's a key thing. You mentioned something about the width of an aisle. A width of an aisle is really important, because there are a lot of social stressors just in walking a horse through a facility. You know, mm-hmm. the 12-foot aisle, for example, is usually too narrow. There are horses reaching out of stalls and horses walking by, and that can be, you know, kind of like walking down prison row with the cat calls and all that. We want to keep those social stresses down by making wide enough spaces for horses to walk in places where there are not a lot of vehicles and other traffic. So that's the first thing, is just making nice, wide, quiet places to move horses around. I think the other thing you mentioned, line of sight, is really important. Horses like to see what's coming before it gets there. They don't like to be surprised. So mm-hmm. having some line of sight to a door from a stall is really helpful. And to be able to not be socially isolated. So they like to be able to see other horses. And that can be difficult in a medical setting because you don't want horses to spread things to each other. But, you know, they don't like to go to a facility and then all of a sudden be socially isolated. They're not sure what's going on. So these are all things we can do. It's just simply really easy. You know, all you have to do is just turn your mind around to be thinking like a horse instead of being thinking about your own perspective. And all horse people do that.
Yeah, they do. All horse people do. Like for ventilation, do you also, as the architect, you like design like the fans or air conditioning or whatever they may have at the hospital?
Absolutely. And this is another thing, you know, I like to think about all the ways that the kind of design that we do relates to things that everybody thinks about on a day-to-day basis. So you all know that having a healthy barn space means getting enough air through it that you don't get ammonia buildup and that type of thing. That's really important in a medical setting, not only for those basic air contaminants, but also for potentially contagious disease, that we want to move air enough to keep the horses healthy. And it's a balance, because you don't want to make a drafty space either.
Uh-huh.
So this is a tricky thing. For example, if we were designing a hospital for dogs and cats, we would keep it at a similar temperature to what we're used to. But for a horse, they're often going in and out from outside, and if it's 10 below zero outside and you come inside and it's 80 degrees or 70 degrees, that can be a shock to the system. So actually, we tend to keep the air closer to the temperature it is outside so that it's not such a shock to move in and out of the space. And we move just enough air to keep the place healthy without it being drafty. So it's really a balance. For horses, it's all about making the space as natural as possible, as connected to the outside as possible, so that they don't have a lot of shock to the system of going in and out as they do typically in a hospital setting or barn for that matter.
Mm-hmm.
I got a question here. I see in your bio here that you've helped design some significant equine facilities in Australia. Do you guys, when the word comes in that there's a new one to bid out, do y'all fight over the really cool ones like going to Australia?
You know, we tend to specialize in things that we're good at. And
going
really
to Australia, one
of
those things.
That's right.
Actually, I'm good at Australia. I'll go.
not nearly as glamorous as one might think, sitting on an airplane all the time. But I do really enjoy the horse part of the business. And so when those projects come up, I tend to work on those. And yes, you know, what's really neat about working across the globe, and in a place like Australia, we think it's like the U.S., but it's not. It's really different, although there are so many parallels with horse culture, just some slightly different language and, of course, different ways of measuring things. The other thing we find is working in other countries, the sizing systems are slightly different. So we're used to 12 by 12 stalls in the U.S., and in Australia, they're used to 10 by 10, roughly 10 by 10, what they call boxes. So their unit sizes are a little different from ours, maybe a little larger or smaller, depending on what you're looking at.
How about
I have to ask you about one.
Go ahead, Jen. Go ahead, Wendy.
I see that you've just designed the new facility at Tryon Equine Hospital. And what was that like?
Oh, that was a fantastic facility. Wonderful people to work with, great doctors, very successful. They already had a really successful equine hospital serving that part of North Carolina, which is the lower central part of North Carolina that serves a real horsey country. And they've always specialized in sports horse medicine and other sports horse type of resources for people who own horses. And we had the pleasure of designing their new facility, and it was such a joy to work with them, and it was a great project. And you can check it out by Googling Tryon Equine. And they have really enjoyed it. One of the best places in the whole hospital is their treatment and exam area. We talked a little bit earlier about the indoor-outdoor relationship in horse facilities, and this is a perfect indoor-outdoor space. It's huge. It's about the size of 5 exam rooms put together into one large room. So talk about, you know, lines of sight. The horses feel very comfortable in the space. It's vaulted. It's indoor-outdoor with big rolling doors. It has windows that open. So the horses don't really feel like they're coming into a hospital. They feel like they're coming into a large, oversized barn space with nice, comfortable, squishy flooring and breezes blowing through in the nice weather. But you can also batten it down and heat it in the wintertime. So it's a really nice space. And then from there, you can go to the other spots in the hospital where more serious work is being done, like the surgery area or soft tissue surgery area, standing surgery, dental, x-ray. So it's a pretty neat space that is a calming place for horses to come in.
Okay, I want to geek out for 1 minute. So what software is now being used by architects?
Well, traditionally, and I come from kind of an old school background, and I never imagined myself saying that, but it happens to all of us. I learned hand drawing
when I was
in school. Yes. And hand drawing is still really neat because it's a great way to communicate with clients. It's a great way to sit down and sketch out. You know, if I'm sitting with a person who's thinking about a new building, I can sketch out some ideas with them right there on the spot. So that's great. Then, of course, AutoCAD came into play shortly after, you know, I entered school. And AutoCAD is still a good tool for a lot of architects. The problem with AutoCAD is it's really, really clunky in a 3D. So we don't use it as much anymore because it is really difficult to integrate the 3D. So then there was a program that came out in Boulder, Colorado, actually in my hometown, SketchUp, which is now owned by Google. And pretty much anyone can learn SketchUp, of course. Wouldn't you have liked to have been on that boat? And SketchUp is really neat because it's a 3D modeling software that's really easy to use and virtually anyone can use it.
So
well, now,
Go ahead.
Sorry. Now we're actually doing a three-dimensional modeling software for virtually all of our projects. So what we typically see is CAD is falling by the wayside. We're using the new 3D modeling software, which is called Revit. And then SketchUp is still used as a tool. And, of course, I still use hand sketching to communicate with my clients.
Can you use that 3D modeling to actually kind of give them a tour of their facility?
You can, and that's the best thing about it, because not having started with an architecture emphasis in my life, I wasn't born looking at blueprints, and most of us aren't. And so when you sit down and work on a project with a client, you have to be able to explain it to them, and most people aren't used to looking at architectural drawings and understanding what a space is going to look like. That's just something that takes quite a bit of time and training. So the three-dimensional software allows us to walk through the space with the client, and so they can experience it, understand what it's going to look like, and we can start applying materials and colors. We can then apply all the things that are going to make the space really feel cohesive. And now that we're using this software, I can't imagine going back to two dimensions, because you learn so much by looking at things in three dimensions. So it's a great tool for us as well.
Okay, now are they tying that software into the 3D printers so you can actually make the physical models of the place?
That would be one way to solve our labor problems we have right now, is just go ahead and extrude that building.
Yeah,
but we haven't gotten there yet.
I meant the little models to show them. Like you could just print it out, a little model for them and make a little city for them.
Yeah, we can do a physical model, but they're usually expensive. And most of our clients have budgets. I haven't met a client yet that doesn't have one. So we need to work to make things as budget-friendly for them as possible. So oftentimes just walking through it on the computer can save some money for them rather than having a physical model.
I'm sure, too, like Wendy, I'm sure you've worked in a lot of vet clinics. There's things about the clinic and the building and the design that all veterinarians go, why'd they do this? You know?
Yeah.
And yeah, I guess it's your job to make sure that they don't have a lot of those things after they move into the building. So you don't want a
Absolutely.
Whole lot of why did they do this? so
if they're saying, why did we do this? I feel like we haven't really done our job. So we like to walk through all of the aspects of the space from the very beginning, big picture, all the way down to the details. So, you know, when working together with an architect, you should know why you have a certain kind of door hardware, why, you know, all those even little tiny details. Fortunately, our clients really love tiny details. Most people do. So it's really a fun process to work through all of those things together, and it's really important.
One more question. From beginning to end, till the place is built, you're like a vet clinic, an average-sized vet clinic, you'll be looking at years, right? I mean, from the time they decide to do it, till they hire you, till they get the architecture done, till they get the place built, we're talking 3 to 5 years?
Well, that's a pretty good guess, actually. It's a long process, and really part of the process that takes a long time is rumination. And that early thinking stage is a stage that people don't usually give much credit to in terms of looking at a timeline. But that timeline starts when you start thinking about what you're going to do, finding land and that sort of thing. The actual architectural design portion of a project is usually not all that much time. There is about probably 6 months on average to put together some construction drawings for a project and submit them for a permit. And then depending on the complexity of a project, it might take anywhere from 6 months to over a year to build. But the real timeline is in thinking about it, budgeting it, choosing your land, your first decisions about the project. That's what takes some time. And that's the time that you really should spend. It's time well spent, because those decisions, once you hit the word go and your architect is drawing, then, it's hard to turn those things around. So that time is really well spent.
Well, you know what? My wife accuses me of daydreaming all the time. Now I'm just going to say I'm ruminating. Because
I know,
that
I was
sounds...
thinking the same thing.
it's such a good animal word, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, it sounds like it's important and that I should be doing it instead of just daydreaming. I think that's better.
Absolutely. No, it's important.
Well, thank you so much for joining us. It's been a delight to have you on. Heather Lewis is from Animal Arts. Give the website.
Yes, it's animalarts.com. And it's been my pleasure to be with you this morning.
All right. So if you're looking at building a vet clinic in your backyard, contact Heather. She'll help you with that. Thanks, Heather.
All right. Have a great day. All right. Take care.
Did that make you want to have a big fancy clinic in your backyard?
Well, it made me want her to call her for my dog, Jim's.
Oh, that's right. I keep forgetting you. Yeah, I keep forgetting. Don't tell anybody.
I know. Don't anybody tell.
This is a secret.
Keep it amongst yourselves.
A secret project Wendy's working on. But now, she's been ruminating a long time. So.
I've been ruminating about it.
So it might be a while until the secret project actually comes to fruition. But
about my budget.
She's still ruminating.
Small budget, Heather.
That's my new favorite word now. Ruminating. I'm going to ruminate. Well, I'm going to ruminate while we do a song. How about that? And then we're coming back with Leslie Wiley, who's going to tell us about her latest adventure with Lady Mary over in England. And then we also have another listener coming on to talk horse health about her use of traditional Chinese medicine later on. Lisa's going to join us. So a lot more to go on today's show. But first, a little Templeton Thompson with Tumbling Dice. That has the longest end to a song that I've ever heard. That was Templeton Thompson, and that name of that song is Tumblin' Dice. You can find all of her music at templetonthompson.com. You're listening to Horses in the Morning. I am here with Dr. Wendy today. Jamie is off, although I saw she posted on the auditor page, and she said that she was getting ready to go to the airport and listening to the show. So, hello, Jamie. She gets to listen from the other side of the mic. So no pressure on Wendy, but the boss is listening this morning. Do we still have Wendy? Wendy, are you there?
I forgot to plug her microphone.
Oh, sorry. Okay. I forgot to unmute. Yeah. I'm already screwing up. I'm sorry, Jamie.
Jamie does that all the time. It's okay. It's allowed.
None of us ever forgets to turn our mic back on. No, that never happens.
That never happens. You think
so
after,
unprofessional. What an amateur I am.
You think after all the shows we've done that we'd know how to do that? You know?
But I'm just dumb.
We've done that. You know, we think after 5,000 episodes. All right. Hold on 1 second. I was trying to get Leslie on, but she's trying to figure out a new computer, apparently. So she'll be with us here in a second. I wanted to tell everybody that Wendy normally, almost every week, is on, has been host now for almost 5 years of the Driving Radio Show. If you haven't listened to the Driving Radio Show yet, we have tons of listeners that are not drivers that listen just to hear Wendy.
Well, and also driving is fun for everybody, you know, and we have a lot of different topics that are sometimes horsey related. And today I'm so excited because we're going to be talking about EPM.
Ah, okay.
Remember?
That's right. We are talking about EPM.
So we have a lot of veterinary topics on the driving show. Yep. So it's not just for carriage drivers. And plus carriage drivers are fun. So if you don't carriage drive yet, you should find a friend that carriage drives and make them take you for a ride.
One of the other things, we just have some really, really cool guests. And we don't cover just carriage driving with horses. We've covered dogs, goats,
oh, yeah, that's true.
Chickens. What other things have driven?
Llamas once.
Llamas, yeah.
We had, remember those lamb wagons? The guy that made lamb wagons?
Oh, that's right, yes.
It's like a tiny house that you drag out to the field.
Sheep
and watch
wagons,
the
that's right.
Wagons.
Yeah, and you know what we just found yesterday? Jennifer and I stumbled on this. We found a camper. There's a company in Indiana, I think, that makes campers that look like sheep wagons.
Really?
They look like gypsy sheep wagons, and you can actually buy it. It's an actual camper you tow behind your truck.
Awesome.
It's very cool looking. Yes. We thought of you when we saw it. We were like, oh, Wendy and Kyle would love this thing.
Yeah, but you know what? The campers that I think are cute. I mean, Kyle's really tall. So I was going to get this little tab camper. I thought it was super cute. And Kyle's like, only you and Megan can fit in there. Nobody can fit in there. No,
Jennifer liked those too. You can't even stand up.
No, he goes, we can't get a camper unless I can lay down comfortably in the bed.
Yeah, that's true. You'd probably like the sheep wagon. They're pretty big.
Oh, good.
He'd be able to stand up in them, no problem. The only problem with the sheep wagon that they were selling was that all the cooking happens on the outside of it. So if it's raining...
Oh, I like that better.
You do?
Yeah.
But
if it's raining, you're not going to go. God, Glenn.
Sorry.
Talk about amateur hour.
Jennifer and I have a solution. We just don't go at all. So, you know, we just don't go.
That's a great solution to camping.
All right, let me try Leslie again. She's having trouble with her new computer in the settings. So we'll see. We'll see if we can get her on. If not, maybe I'll give her phone a call here. We usually connect with Leslie over Skype, so she sounds crisp and beautiful. And doing this live always makes it more difficult.
All right. Can do it, Glenn.
We'll try and call. We'll try and give her phone a call because she's not getting it here. You technologically challenged horsewomen. I'll tell you what. No comment on that one.
No comment.
Well, we knew you weren't talking to us.
Sorry.
Because Jenna and I are
cannot
very
disagree.
Techie.
Yeah. No argument.
Not a rhetorical question.
No.
I think I have one or two hosts out of the 20 that actually don't have technological challenges when it comes to computers. There might be. Mary's pretty good. She gets it pretty quickly.
Well, you know what? You just watch the tutorial if you don't know something.
Leslie.
Hello.
We gave up on you on the computer. We thought we'd just call the phone.
Yeah. Sorry, technical difficulties.
A new computer and you can't figure it out, right?
I know, right?
Math is hard.
That's right.
Math is hard. Yeah, I finally made the switch from a PC to a Mac, and it's like
everything's
a foreign
different.
Land.
Everything's different.
You're going to love it. Don't listen to them.
Yeah.
Hey,
you're still with the dark side.
Leslie, we have Dr. Wendy on filling in for Jamie today.
Hi, Leslie.
Hey, Wendy.
So now you have to tell us. By the way, this is the Wacky World of Horses with a great smooth entrance today with Horse Nation. Leslie's with us every Monday. We'll just skip your opener now. We're already beyond that. Normally, she comes in and slides in seamlessly, and we weave her into the conversation, but not today.
Yep.
But you just spent time with Lady Mary. Now, we're going to remind everybody who Lady Mary is. So give everybody
Lady
a quick...
Lady Martha.
Lady Martha, sorry. I was looking at all the royals, and I was getting all my royals mixed up. So now, remind everybody who Lady Martha is, and then why you did this second trip with her.
Yes, I met up with Lady Martha Sitwell for a fox hunting trip, and rather epic week of my life.
Uh-huh. And by the way, listeners are still saying that's the funniest half hour we've ever had, is you telling the Lady Martha story.
Well, yeah. It was one of the most fun weeks I've ever had. So, yeah. it was great fun. We just basically, to recap briefly, we just kind of roamed around for a few days, going from fox hunt to party to fox hunt to party to castle to fox hunt to party. And let's see, along the way, there are many adventures and misadventures, including, I had a little rotational fall, over a 4-foot, upright telephone pole sort of fence, out of 2 feet of mud. That was the catcher. If it just been 4 feet, 4 foot solid fence, we would have been golden, but 2 feet of mud in front of it really,
well, mud makes for really, the soft landing.
Yeah, but we had a totally soft landing. I just scraped the top of my nose off a little bit, but no big deal. I had concealer with me. I had a hunt, so I was able to make it to the hunt ball that night with without too much, without looking too scary. So
now,
in fact, so
yeah, go ahead.
Yeah. So before I left, and Martha and I just, I mean, we were like, let's be best friends forever. And, and she's clearly my spirit animal. And, before we left, she said, darling, why don't you come back from Badminton in May? And I was like, okay. so I talked to Jenny Autry, the Vending Nation's editor, and, actually, all right, Samantha Clark is a friend of Horse Radio Network.
Yeah.
She's usually our British correspondent and covers the English events, Badminton and Burley and whatnot. But she's in Kentucky right now. She has a house in Lexington too. So it just so happened we needed someone to cover Badminton. So I got to go to Badminton. It was my first time to that event. It was so cool. Such a huge deal. I think they had 100,000 people out on cross country day, which is just mind blowing. The equestrian sport over there is just so different than it is here in the States, where it's not over there. It's over here. It's sort of like a niche-y, like, what you say you do again, but, over there, it's such a point of national pride and, everybody sort of keeps up with all the big players. So I get to go to Badminton. Enter Martha. I thought, what would be hilarious because so many of our readers, I feel like, got to know her through the fox hunting series that I did and love her and want to live vicariously through her. I bet I could talk Martha into doing some color commentary for us. And so I got her a media pass, and she sure did. She came out to the event, and she did.
Does Lady Martha need a media pass, or could she just pretty much go where she wants anyway?
Pretty sure she can just waltz around, through the world, and go wherever she wants to go.
Is she a real lady? She's actual royalty?
Well, nobility. She was married to a baroner. So they've since been divorced. They're since divorced, but she kept the title.
She kept that title. She got that in the divorce agreement.
Yeah.
You're not giving that back.
Yeah, that's right. Once you get lady title, Lady Wendy. Yeah. That has a ring to it. Lady Dr. Wendy.
I want to be Baroness Wendy.
Baroness. Yeah.
So you got to do the course walk with Lady Martha, and I got to tell you, we all watched it. Was she sober at that point?
Oh, yeah. This was 100% sober. Oh, wow. Yeah, she was so funny. You know, she's so brave. She jumps huge things in the hunt field, and oftentimes side saddle. And you know, she thought she went around and sort of gave a course walk of the badminton course, which is just legendarily, you know, huge and terrifying. And from a fox hunter's perspective, and she seemed, you know, a bit nonplussed by a lot of it, until we got to the Vicarage V, and then she kind of finally broke character and just started laughing and was like, I don't know why anyone would want to do this. You adventures are insane. So we finally found a jump that Martha might not jump.
She was funny with some of them. She was like, oh, this is nothing. Next. Do this one.
Yeah. So we did that. She's good friends with Mark Todd, who, of course, is an eventing legend. He's won badminton 4 times before. He's probably ridden around that course, you know. He's probably had more trips around that course than anybody. And she did an interview with him, and I told her, you know, she said, I'm going to write out a list of questions, you know, and I thought, you know, I think if I'd interviewed, this was after dressage or cross country. It was after cross country. And I thought, oh, you know, she'll probably ask him how cross country went, you know, what are his prospects for tomorrow, going in the Olympics. These are things that I would ask Mark Todd, you know, if I had 5 minutes alone with Mark Todd. But not Martha. Martha had more burning questions, such as, would he vote for Hillary or Donald Trump? He reluctantly said Hillary, grumbled Hillary. She asked, do you think cats dream? Or what do you think cats dream about?
Something, was Mark about ready effect. To walk out? Was he pretty and close?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. It was, and he sort of, I don't know, the whole thing was kind of like, is this even real? Because he kind of rolled up on this tiny, tiny, like, motorized bicycle, like, scooter thing. Like, it was the most ridiculous thing. He was like a frog, like a gigantic frog on it with his, you know, he's so tall, with his knees stuck out, and the thing is probably, I don't know, 2 feet, 2.5 feet off the ground. It was insane. And then there's the big, you know, badminton house, the sort of castle-y estate house in the background, and then there's Martha asking these just insane questions, and I just, it was just one of those moments.
You thought you were tripping, right?
This is a moment in my life, for sure. This is a moment. And then, what else? Oh, and then the last thing I had her do was I sent her out. I thought, I wonder if Martha had an unlimited budget, what would she buy at the trade fair? And the trade fair there is massive. I mean, it's even, if you think Rolex's trade fair is epic, Badman's is just, I mean, never ending. It's huge. And so I sent her out into the trade fair to write up a list and take photos of items that she would, a wish list of items that she would like to purchase, were, you know, money, no object. And she came back with a list. I think that was a really fun thought experiment for her. She came back with this list. She found a vendor that was specialized in horseback safaris and,
Africa.
Fun. So she's like, I would do that. She, you know, found some like crazy expensive vintage fur, you know, coat that she just looked amazing in.
Oh, I'd have that too.
Yeah.
I love this woman. This woman is like my long lost twin.
Isn't she every woman's long lost twin?
Yeah. What about the hats? Did she pick out a good hat?
She did. She found this giant fur hat also. Mm-hmm. That really complimented the really brought out the Arctic fox collar of her, you know, gazillion dollar fur coat that she
can't wear a fur without a hat.
right. Come on.
Martha
Let me go.
Did you attend any parties with Lady Martha?
We did. We went to, there was a lovely party on by the water jump, which was by water jump. I mean, it was kind of a lake. And they did that after cross country. And it was so just very British, all the people in their tweed and their caps. And they had a double decker, like champagne, bar. I don't know. I don't even know how to explain it. And immediately she got swarmed by people, and she had her champagne, and so I was just like, "You, Martha, I'm going to head back.
You're
to
on
the,
your own
media center. I'm not worried about you. I've got words, you know, I've got words to write, and you know where I'll be." So she has friends everywhere. It was kind of like walking around with a celebrity.
Anything new you can announce on the book you're writing for her?
Well, I have at least 2 chapters written, I guess.
I'm waiting. The Lady Martha autobiography by Leslie Wiley.
Yeah,
I'm
waiting. I feel like we maybe need to go on this
Safari. Oh, definitely.
Together.
Oh. You definitely need to do that.
I think that would be interesting.
Yep.
Does Lady Martha have a Facebook page? Because I want to be her friend.
She does.
Oh, thank God.
Yeah.
Is it Lady Martha Sitwell?
I know. It's Martha Sitwell, yes. Yeah. And you know, my sort of goal in life right now is to get her over here for Rolex next year. So I think that would be really fun.
Is she allowed to travel outside the country?
I think so.
Okay.
I don't think she's spent, I asked her if she'd traveled much in the States, and she said, I've been to Vegas. Like, well, of course
she has.
Of course you've been to Vegas, dear.
Where else would she go?
I'm surprising.
All right, Leslie, thank you so much for giving us an update on Lady Martha. We appreciate it. And welcome back.
Oh, thanks. Thanks for having me. As always, have a great week.
All right. Horsenation.com. We'll talk to you next week. See you, Leslie.
Bye. Bye.
She has the job, Leslie. She's got the job.
I know. How did she get that job?
She just has the job. I'm telling you. Everybody just looks up to Leslie because she gets to do all this fun stuff. Well, we have one more thing to do before the day is done. And this is an auditor of ours who wrote a little note. And I said, well, you got to come on and talk about this, because one of the things we cover on the driving radio show all the time is traditional Chinese medicine. And I have a whole new respect for it. Not because I just really like Wendy, but because it makes a lot of sense now. And having Lyme, I've had to implement a lot of it to get better. So one of our listeners by the name of Lisa, I think it's Tomczyk. Let's find out. I've always gotten her last name wrong, and then she went and got married to a harder last name. Lisa, is it Tomczyk?
It is.
Did Jennifer say, did she say bike earlier?
She did. Yeah. So I had to hassle her
so,
on Facebook.
So her name is spelled B-Y-K. It was spelled B-Y-K. And I always said bike. And then Jamie always said Bic. And apparently it was Bic. And now you got this last name that has more consonants than vowels. And I don't know how you did that. But it's Tomzik. All right. Got it. Lisa Tomzik.
The Y's always get them confused. Okay, yes. This is coming from Wendy Ying.
That's true.
Four letters, but they can't pronounce it.
Yeah. All right, Lisa, let's talk about your horse who has a normal name, Chevy. Chevy is your horse. We've heard about Chevy for years here on the show, actually. But tell us what happened to Chevy. How did he get sick? And by the way, that's Lisa's little baby who was born about the same time as Jamie's, right?
Oh.
Yeah, he just turned two on the 28th.
Yeah, you guys have kind of been growing up with motherhood together.
We have.
Yeah. So it's appropriate that we have a toddler on the show today when Jamie's not here.
Someone has to take Lucas's place.
That's right. So tell us about Chevy. What happened to Chevy?
Well, we're not sure exactly what happened. It was just, one day I was having a lesson and we were talking about doing flying change, starting his flying changes the next day. And when I came out a day or two later to work him, he had swelling on the back part of his spine, just in front of the SI joint. And he was exhibiting neurological symptoms with his back legs. He had absolutely no control over them. So he looked like a typical wobbler.
Oh, poor
with the
guy.
Symptoms that he was exhibiting. And the girl that was leasing my trainer's house, she's like, oh, I never saw Chevy running around or anything outside. But the paddock that he was in, it wasn't visible directly from the house. But the only thing we can think of is he probably got cast against either the run-in wall or a fence, because there was a little bit of a scrape on his top line as well, where the swelling was.
Oh.
And the next day my vet came out and took x-rays of his neck, and he did have changes in his C3 and C5, and the ultrasound on his back didn't show up anything. So he just kind of attributed it to a wobbler horse, but he just does the traditional Western medicine. It says, mm-hmm. It's his coworker there that does traditional plus the TCBM stuff. So she came out a week later to look at him, and we started him on some herbs, the cervical formula from Qi Institute, mm-hmm. since the Butte wasn't doing anything either. And that was the beginning of September of last year that all of this started.
And what treatment?
And
then?
She did acupuncture too?
Yeah. Once the swelling went down a little bit, I took him home at the end of June or end of September to my parents' place. And that's when we started the electroacupuncture.
Explain that, Wendy. What do they do?
Well, electroacupuncture is you put the regular acupuncture needles into the points that you want to treat, and then you hook this electroacupuncture box up to the needles, and it stimulates the needles in a frequency that helps release endorphins. And by changing the frequency, we can produce different kinds of endorphins, and endorphins are like your body's morphine. So it's a natural painkiller that your body makes itself. And so depending on what treatment we want to do, or what the also depending on what drugs they're on, like a lot of times dogs are on some opioid painkiller. So I'll use a different frequency because my acupuncture won't work because those painkillers are blocking the sites of the endorphins from a lower frequency. So I'll use a higher frequency on that case so I can get different endorphins. But the electroacupuncture is really powerful too with neurologic problems because with neuro problems, the cells aren't firing correctly and the cells work on electrical activity. So we try to do the electroacupuncture to like wake up the nerves and reset them. Also, the electroacupuncture is really good at reducing the swelling quickly. So when you have trauma like this, a lot of the neuroscience you see are from swelling where the nerves come out from between the vertebrae and it squeezes the nerves and then they can't fire properly. So that's why if you reduce the swelling, yeah, you can see a vast improvement.
And has it improved?
Yes. He had a couple of setbacks over the winter just with the frozen footing and getting cold back. So it's like, when the footing got really bad, he would hold his back, mm-hmm, kind of tiptoeing over the rocky footing. And that's when he would have setbacks where he'd start exhibiting the neuro symptoms with his back legs again, just because his muscles in his back were tight and they weren't letting go.
So this is a case where Chinese medicine really did something. I mean, you really had a very few options with traditional medicine. So this at least gave him some comfort. Now, you'll never probably ride this horse, or will you?
I don't think he'll ever do dressage again, although my vet that's doing the traditional Chinese medicine, her end goal is to at least, you know, get him in the show ring dang training level again. But I'm kind of think that my hopes of, you know, getting back to the third level movements are probably gone with him. I had 18 hands and having the neuro symptoms off and on, like just where the injury was so deep that he's going to have setbacks or stuff with neuro symptoms when the footing does get bad.
But I would think when the if he really is a wobbler, I would think that it may be a bit dangerous to ride him because he could fall down, you know, and then right, you guys both could get hurt. So usually with wobblers, we recommend that just very, you know, don't ride him. If you can retire him, or if you do want to ride him, you have to realize that that is a possibility because he is not really, we call it conscious proprioception. He doesn't really know where his feet are.
Right.
You know, so one of the things you can also do is, you know, rehab, right? So you can put Cavalettis on the ground or poles on the ground, and you can walk him through that to try to remind him where his feet are.
Right.
You know, but I would do that in hand.
We've done a little bit of Cavaletti work.
Oh, good.
Just in hand. And then mm-hmm, I've got like small hills in the back pasture, mm-hmm, that we were going to plan on doing some rehab work with, just to hopefully strengthen up the hind end again.
Yeah.
But like this last week, and the swelling is barely visible, and he's walking just about normal again.
Oh, that's great.
If I remember right, Chevy's a big guy, isn't he?
Yeah, he's 18 hands.
Yeah.
And 1,400 pounds.
Yeah, see, you add that to having the spine issues, and you got all that extra weight there, too.
Yep.
Yeah.
You know, another thing, since it's Omega Alpha Day, the Sinuex Plus could be really good for him, too, because with wobblers or with this spinal injury you have, like I said, you need to keep the inflammation at bay. And because his spine is unstable, like he has abnormal mm-hmm movement in there, that's going to predispose him for arthritis. So you want to proactively protect his joint surfaces. So the Sinuex Plus is great because it has HA in it and it has glucosamine. So those are all chondroprotectives, you know, so you can save the cartilage that he has now and reduce the inflammation, because the inflammation is what, you know, chews up the fluid in the joints.
Hmm. Well, right. Lisa, I, you know, we've kind of been following Chevy now for years, and we wish you the best of luck with him and hope that he gets better to the point where at least you can do some hacking, right? I mean, I know at this point you would cherish that too. So,
yeah.
Well,
at this point, I'm just glad that he's still around, since
he had. All this came about when I had to put my thoroughbred mare down.
Yeah.
Like, a double whammy all in the same month.
And then you had a baby all at the same time. It all came about all in order there. So,
yeah.
Yeah. Well, hang in there and give Chevy a great big hug and a carrot for us.
Thanks. I will do that.
All right. Thanks, Lisa.
All right. You're welcome.
Well, and of course, as Wendy was talking a little bit about SinuX there, we'll remind you that you can find it at omegaalphaequine.com. Well, Wendy, thank you so much for joining us. I'll be seeing you in a couple hours because we'll be recording the driving show.
I know.
And,
I can't wait.
And what do you have planned for this week on the driving show?
This week we have Dr. Ellison from Florida, who has a novel treatment for EPM, and she's going to tell us all about her life and how she got to this point with her treatments for EPM and how she can help horses. And then we also have Vernon Helmuth, who is our newest single driver, who's over in Germany training with our USEF team coach, Thorsten Zarambowitz.
And he's this is his first trip, right, to Europe for the United States?
I think so. He's driving a Welsh Cobb stallion owned by a German.
Oh, really?
Breeding farm. And you know how I love Welsh Cobb, so I'm really excited to talk to him.
All right, all coming up on today's show. And if we have time on today's show, we've been wanting to get to it. We're going to talk about spring vaccines as well. So yes. We've had a couple of listeners ask about spring vaccines. What do you need to get? Why do you get it? That kind of thing. And Wendy's very good at explaining that. So we'll hopefully get to that on the driving show too. Tomorrow is Certified Horsemanship Day on Horses in the Morning. We'll be back here at 9 a.m. Eastern. And then Jamie will be back from Oklahoma on Wednesday. So all of that coming up on today's show. Thank you so much, Wendy, for filling in. I appreciate it.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
And Jennifer, great job on the guest. She was terrific. Appreciate you booking the guest today as well. We'll see you all tomorrow, everybody, 9 a.m. Eastern here on Horses in the Morning. Keep the shiny side up.
I didn't know I was supposed to say that on this show.
I did it for you.
I miss my kids.